Hi everyone, welcome to this Private Label Buyer Magazine podcast, the latest in our Private Conversations With series, in which we discuss the world of private label with leading industry experts. I'm John Frank, Editorial Director of Private Label Buyer, and today we have with us Pat Walsh, Vice President of Industry Relations, Education, and Research at the Food Marketing Institute. FMI has just concluded a very well-attended Private Brand Summit in Chicago, and we're going to discuss with Pat some of the major takeaways and talking points of the summit, as well as look ahead a bit to what Private Label can expect, as the year goes on. Hi, Pat. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great. Let's begin by discussing some things that came out of the summit. What do you think are the major messages for private label buyers to take away from the summit? What did you feel were the major?
Well, I think one of the major messages is that private brands growth will continue, but that growth is going to be harder to access over time. I think the market conditions, both economically and in terms of what the retailers are doing today in terms of building their own brands, growth will have a steady growth rate going forward. But the competitive environment is very challenging. But private brands growth is well positioned for the future.
Mm-hmm. And what factors make it well positioned for the future? Why do you say that?
I clearly think that the consumer has made a choice that that they are willing to try store brands or private brand products because of the quality, because of the improvement in packaging. The packages are significantly more attractive when you see them on shelf. And that I think the price-value relationship between a private brand vis-a-vis a national brand is very enticing to consumers.
Okay. And I was interested in hearing, I was at the summit myself, and was interested in hearing about some of the trends in private brands today, particularly the idea of different tiers of private label offerings. I mean, we've come a long way from when private label were all sort of generic-looking cans with army-like script on them. Talk a bit about this. Do you see that trend continuing as well, where stores will have sort of different levels of private label brands?
Yeah, I do see that trend continuing in terms of retailers having various tiers of offerings of products. I think what resonated very strongly in the summit program was that there was tremendous opportunity for private brands in the super premium segment. I think this provides retailers an opportunity to not only differentiate but to be very distinct in terms of some product offerings versus national brands. Now, conversely, there is a lot of private brand products that are in the I will call the standard tier, which tends to be the largest assortment offering that is available. But some of the data suggested that there would be an increase in super premium brands, as well as some growth in even in tiers that are, let's say, lower than a traditional private brand standard offering. So I think that retailers are going to evaluate based upon consumer behavior and consumer needs and really seek an opportunity to differentiate themselves in the super premium category. I think as a major factor related to that, there are a number of national branded CPG companies who are taking their own brands and extending them into a more value related offering as well. So I think that as national brands become more competitive in terms of trying to maintain their market share, that type of behavior will continue.
Does moving into super premium give retailers a tool for holding on to consumers as the economy gets better? I mean, there were several speakers mentioning that in the past, private label tends to dip after a recession, but they thought it would be different this time around. Is super premium one of the reasons it might be different?
I believe it will be. I don't think super premium tiers will be, as from a volume perspective, as large as kind of the standard private brands tier. But it does give retailers the opportunity to differentiate. It gives them an opportunity to provide some very superior product quality to a targeted group of high-end consumers who are really looking for, a quality product. So I do believe that there'll be some significant upside potential. I think where the greatest potential is in the super premium category, the creation of brands that currently do not exist today. And I think that retailers are clearly moving away from a private label emulation strategy to a private brand's innovation strategy, particularly in the super premium segment.
Mm-hmm. So you think we're about to see private label brands we haven't seen before and that may become staples on their retailer shelves in the future?
I think so.
That'll be interesting to watch. One session that was interesting that really attracted a lot of attention was on building trust. And it wasn't about private labels per se, but there was a lot of discussion about how you build trust. Well, what message does that hold for private brands? How do they approach the trust issue?
Well, as you know, the private brands trading partner relationships are very unique. Manufacturers really are partners with their retail and wholesale customers, and as such, they're pretty much an extension of that retailer organization. So I think this notion of trust, where you're developing highly developed relationships on a long-term basis, are going to be essential to for retailers and manufacturers to work together. And I think one of the big themes that came out of the trust presentation by Franklin Covey is that trust can be measured and quantified. And I think that the other major theme was that the speed of trust, if you will, produces tangible business results. Organizations or trading partners that have high levels of trust drive innovation. They drive innovation faster. Their response times to consumer needs are faster. And as a consequence, it pays real business dividends. I think the other key component here is that because of the unique private brands, manufacturer, and retailer relationship, which are evolving over time because of the growth curve on private brands, that enhancing collaboration between those trading partners will drive innovation. Because I think each party will get a better understanding of their goals and objectives as well as the capabilities that they can provide going forward.
I see. Okay. Speaking of partnerships, I mean, the summit had the co-chairs of FMI's Private Brands Group co-chairing the summit. Tell me about that organization. What's its mission and how does it seek to fulfill that mission?
Yeah, the FMI Private Brands Group was created about a year and a half ago. There was a pretty significant amount of private brands manufacturers and retailers who came together that said, we need greater representation in this space. And as a result, they felt that there was a void in the marketplace, and they wanted FMI to help facilitate the creation of an organization that could speak with one voice, an organization that was very collaborative, with collaboration being a key pillar of the governance model. So we created an organization, an entity, if you will, that is co-chaired by a manufacturer CEO and a retailer CEO, and then there is an executive committee of the FMI Private Brands Group that is equal parity, where manufacturers and retailers work together to address key industry issues, both in the short term as well as the long term. And there is a governance structure of four subcommittees, actually, education and research, industry collaboration on working on the critical industry issues, membership and governance, which is how do we grow the community and how do we effectively manage it, and then finance. So I think that the governance structure is very unique, and it's one that where trust is critically important. So So I believe that the retailers and manufacturers that are on this group strongly believe that this is a model that will be effective in terms of not only dealing with the issues and opportunities, but also to drive growth and innovation going forward.
And what sorts of things will the group be working on? Can you talk a bit about what's ahead for the group?
Yeah, clearly the group wants to focus on education, and that's one of the areas that the Private Brand Summit was focused on. What are the current issues, the opportunities and challenges, and what does the strategic horizon look like? You know, where are we going? Where is the consumer going? That's one area in terms of education. In research, a year ago, this group delivered a Hispanic consumer study, which was really attempting to understand the Hispanic consumer as it relates to how they purchase private brands, because that clearly is a growing demographic, and they have tended to be very national brand loyal. This year, we're embarking on another consumer-focused study, which really tries to understand private brand consumer spending at the local level. So take it at a given store location, how do you determine where the high prospects are for private brands versus national brands? In the areas of collaboration, last year we held the Private Brands Conference, and we're doing that in October this year, which are really these company-to-company, senior-level, joint business planning meetings that talk about long-range business strategy. They are not transactional or operational discussions. They're really focused on how do we grow the business, how do we build the brands, what unique, innovative things can we be doing, and really understanding everyone's capabilities to try to get alignment so they can grow the business, understand the consumer, and, you know, derive the benefits associated with that.
It sounds like a great group. I'm sure our members are going to get a lot out of that. We look forward to hearing more about it and what it's going to be doing in the future.
Yeah, and I will say to you that this Private Brands Group is operating under a very structured governance structure. It has bylaws that guide how the organization behaves, what it focuses on in terms of its mission and priorities. And you asked me earlier about the mission.
Yes.
The mission of the Private Brands Group, there is strategic linkage between the Private Brands Group and the overall Food Marketing Institute mission, because part of the objectives of the value proposition was for many of these private brands manufacturers, as well as retailers, to tap into the breadth and depth of resources that we have here at FMI to include work in government relations and public policy, food safety and defense, consumer affairs, community affairs, sustainability, health and wellness. So we're really in the process of integrating that Private Brands Group, so it doesn't feel that it's necessarily a standalone group. It's very unique, but it has the capability to plug into the services and capability that FMI provides to the broader industry.
I see. Well, like I said, it sounds very, very worthwhile. We'll look forward to hearing more about it going forward. Let's go back to some of the topics at the summit. I was fascinated by the discussion of social media and private brands, and obviously social media is something all businesses are talking about using more effectively. But how do private label buyers fit in the social media context? What should they be thinking about there or looking at there?
My takeaway from this, and I have always believed this, is that the world of private brands, retailer brands, has significant growth opportunity. And I think as part of that equation, the ability to market and communicate the value proposition of brands is significantly underdeveloped. So utilizing social media, traditional media, and as well as in-store media are tremendous vehicles to build awareness of these brands, to generate trial and repeat purchase, to really connect with consumers and create an ongoing dialogue of how the product is or isn't meeting their needs. And also, social media will help facilitate innovation in terms of new product development for products that, you know, currently don't exist that consumers are looking for. So clearly, the private brands manufacturers, as well as the retailers, do not have the traditional marketing resources in terms of media that a branded national CPG company would have. But there's opportunities in terms of leveraging social media in very unique and low-cost ways that clearly have the opportunity to build the business for the retailers.
Mm. So in a way, level the playing field in terms of how to reach consumers.
I would agree. I mean, it's really a competition over share of voice, if you will, and I think there's significant opportunities for private brands, manufacturers, and retailers to build the brands that they create together. I would also say that on the retail side, the retailers have an expectation in working with their private brand suppliers that they will, over time, significantly enhance and share the type of consumer insights that they have through accelerated research and development and consumer research to really bring things to the retailer in ways that haven't maybe traditionally been done in the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly changing the whole communication spectrum, the use of social media and brand building on places like Facebook and Twitter. It's going to be fascinating to see that play out in the years ahead. Perhaps as we reach the end of our podcast here, you could we've talked a little bit about what's ahead for private label and private brands. Do you have any other predictions for what we're going to see as the economy improves? Hopefully, as the economy improves, we've been waiting.
I'll call it a prediction, but it's already starting to happen, and it's gaining momentum. Is that the national brands are clearly in this calendar year accelerating their media, consumer promotion efforts, trade spending efforts in an effort to defend their share of market. So the prediction is that competition will continue to heat up between private brands and national brands. Mm-hmm. Competition will continue to accelerate between retailers. And I think the other prediction here is that national brands will be very selective in terms of what new products they bring to market, albeit there may be fewer new product introductions, but the ones that do come to market will more than likely be very innovative and unique. And as a result, private brands, manufacturers, and retailers will remain very aggressive in the areas of new product innovation, and I think that they will continue to make significant strides in the areas of supply chain effectiveness and efficiency.
Mm-hmm. As I've heard it said that the new product pipeline was sort of put on hold or stopped up because of the recession, so there's a sort of pent-up interest by manufacturers to bring out new products. So we're going to see a lot of interesting new products coming down the pipeline here in the next year or two.
I think so.
It'll be interesting to see. Well, thank you very much. We're at the end of our time here, so let me thank you, Pat Walsh from FMI, for joining us today. And let me thank our audience for listening. You can hear this and other podcasts with speakers from the FMI Summit by visiting our website, privatelabelbuyer.com. This is John Frank, Editorial Director of Private Label Buyer, saying thank you and goodbye.